I want to win at this game called life.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The reason why I want to win at this game called life is not because, you know, I got a competitive nature or anything like that. It's because I understand that Jesus paid a tremendous price for the purpose of me winning.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. He came to earth and paid a price to give you and to give me, to give us who believe in him, victory.
Amen.
Victory over what? Victory over every scheme, plot, plan, and device of the enemy. Amen. Amen. Victory over lack. Victory over diseases.
Yes.
Victory over all the curses of the law. Amen.
Amen.
We've been redeemed from the curse of the law because Jesus gave his life on that cross.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And so all the curses that you find in Deuteronomy chapter 28, amen, we've been redeemed from them. We've been given victory in this life through Christ Jesus. And because of that, I want to have victory, don't you?
Yes.
Amen. God wants you to have victory.
That's right.
It's important for you to know that, amen. God wants you to have victory. God's not trying to hold you back. God's trying to exalt you.
Yeah.
Amen. But it's going to have to be done his way. So we're going to look at something today. We're going to listen to the Lord as he speaks unto us. But I want you to get excited, amen, because if you need victory in your life, God's given us a blueprint today.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I need victory in my life.
Yeah.
I have some, but I need more. I have some, but I need more. Amen. And I want all of it.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus paid too much of a price for me just to take a little bit. Amen.
Amen.
And so God's going to give us some help on today. I'm excited about it. I pray you are as well. Amen. So we're in Isaiah chapter 55. We're going to find out about victory today. Let's look at verses 8 and 9 in Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. It's exactly what this
is. Just God.
Amen.
Amen.
The devil is a liar today.
Yes, he is.
Amen. God always has a ram in the bush.
Mm-hmm.
Take that, devil. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. God just made an open show of you again. Amen.
Amen.
Isaiah 55. Let's look at verses 8 and 9 together. Amen?
Amen.
It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts."
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we give you praise right now. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you are. You are everything to us, oh God. You are our life, our health, our peace, our prosperity, our protection.
Yes.
You are our security. You are our Savior and our Lord. And we lift you up and bless you today. And God, we thank you right now for your word. Father, we're praying you speak a word unto us. And Father, that you will bless us with understanding as we incline our ear to your voice. Father God, speak clearly, O God. Speak with power. Speak with authority, O God. Remove every burden and destroy every yoke in my life, in our lives, because of the anointing that is upon your word. And Father, we just thank you, God, that we are about to be set free, that we are about to be filled with revelation, that we are about to receive wisdom, knowledge, and instruction from the very throne room of God.
Yeah.
And so, Father, we thank you for the increase that we will experience in our lives. And Father, I pray for your blessing and your strength right now, God, to do your will, God. And Father, I'm praying most of all that, God, that you and you alone will be seen.
Yeah.
As you speak words of life unto us. Father, let what you desire to transpire in this place be performed. And God, we bless you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. I want to read that again. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. This is God speaking. Amen.
Amen.
And our title today is Surrender Your Way to Victory.
Oh.
Amen. Surrender. Surrender your way to victory. Amen. In Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, God makes something very, very plain. He says, my ways are not your ways. I don't do things the way you do them, says God. Amen. And God also says, and I don't think the way you think. Amen. God's ways are different than ours. Amen. And how many of you know, not only are they different, but God's ways are better. You got to settle that in your mind. God's ways aren't just different. They're better. They're better than yours. They're better than mine. They're better than ours. They're better than the world's. Amen.
Amen.
God's ways are better. Amen. In fact, God's ways are best.
Amen.
Amen. And, you know, his thoughts are higher. His ways are higher than ours. But see, God wants us to come around to doing things his way. He wants us to come around to thinking the way he thinks. Because he knows that his ways and his thoughts are the best.
Amen.
And if you and I want the best for our lives, guess what we have to do? We're going to have to do things God's way.
Amen.
That's the only way, amen? So, if you want the best for your life, you can try something. You can try doing things your way. I've tried that.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever tried that?
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't work, does it?
Not.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. But if we do things God's way, that's the best way, right?
Amen.
That's the best way we can, you know, that's the best decision that we can make. I'm going to do the things the way God does them.
Yeah.
But God does them in ways that are counter to everything that we learn in this world.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. God says, you know, because in this world says, you know, you have to be first. People want to be first all the time. They want to be first in line.
Yeah.
They want to be first in the class. They want to be the first one to see the movie. Right? So they want to tell you, I went to the midnight showing. That's why they do that, midnight showing stuff. Because they're preying on people's desire to be first.
Yes. Amen.
So someone on a Thursday night who has to go to work the next morning is going to go to a midnight showing just so they can go to work on Friday and say they saw Batman Returns first.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. People stand in line to get an iPhone in inclement weather because they want to say, I got my phone
first.
Yeah. Exactly. There's an innate desire for us to be first. We'll stand online. We'll deprive ourselves of sleep in order to be first. That's the world. But God says the last will be first, and the first will be last.
Amen.
God's ways are better. Amen. His ways are not our ways. Amen. The world says if you want to obtain stuff in this life, you better get all you can. If you got to step on people, if you got to, amen, you got to get what you can.
Amen.
Go out and get it. Go out and take it, amen.
Amen.
But that's not what God says. God says if you want to obtain, he says give, and it will be given unto you. God's ways are different, amen.
Amen.
God's ways are not the same as ours, amen. People want to be great. And they want people to serve them, right, as a way of showing that they're great. Bring me some water. Bring me some coffee. Type up my letter. Do this for me. And that's how people feel that they're in power and they're great because they're a whole bunch of people doing things for them.
Right.
But Jesus said, it's not so among you. Whosoever wants to be great among you, let him be your servant.
Right.
Amen. God's ways are different. Amen.
Amen.
God says if you want to be great, you serve your way to greatness. Amen.
Amen.
You don't have other people serving you. So God's ways are different than ours. Amen. And God's, and similarly, amen, God's way to victory is through something that is contrary to what we would think. It's through surrender.
Yeah.
It's through giving up. And see, in our minds, we think giving up is losing. If I give up, I lost. If I surrender, I lost. If I surrender, I'm coming out on the short end of the stick. But the truth be told, amen, that whether or not you lose through surrender really depends to whom you are surrendering.
Yeah.
Right? If you're surrendering to an enemy, then yeah, I'll agree with you, amen. You're going to come out on the short end of the stick. Because your enemy doesn't have your best interests at heart.
Amen.
Amen. Your enemy wants to destroy you. Your enemy wants to bring you down. And so if you surrender to an enemy, oh, glory to God. If you surrender to an enemy,
Jesus,
then you're going to come out on the short end of the stick.
Right.
Hmm?
Yeah.
That's why when the devil speaks to you and tells you to do certain things, and you surrender to the enemy,
that's right. And you come out.
You're going to come out on the short end of the stick. Why? Because he doesn't have your best interests in heart.
Amen.
But when you surrender unto God, you win.
That's it.
Why? Because God does have your best interests at heart. When he asks you and directs you and commands you to do a thing, and you surrender to what God wants you to do, you come out on top all the time. Why? Because God's ways are best.
Amen.
And when you surrender to doing things, to living your life, to making decisions the way God would have you to do them, you will win.
Amen.
Amen. But see, that's so contrary to us, amen. Surrendering is a hard thing in the natural. We don't want to give up or give in, do we?
Nope.
Amen. Oh no. Sometimes we have an argument with somebody. You ever have an argument with someone? You didn't do this, but I've done it, so maybe you might be able to take something from what I've done. I've had an argument with somebody in the past, and even in the midst of the argument, I know I'm wrong. You've never been there. You've never been there. So I'm just trying to describe something for you. So one of these days when you find yourself there, you may. Because I know you've never been there before. Because you're always right. And you say stuff.
Right.
But there have been times I'm arguing with somebody. And in the midst of it, I know I'm wrong. But I won't give in. Amen?
Yeah.
I won't surrender. I won't give up the point. Why? Amen? Because it's something about giving up. I'm not giving up, I'm not giving in to you, amen? See, that's what's in us, amen? And see, that's what God has to break out of us.
Yeah.
This natural tendency not to want to submit or to surrender or give in.
Amen.
And we cannot have a life of victory if we do not have the spirit of surrender. And see, that sounds so contrary, amen? You're telling me to give up? Yes. Give up in order to win. But you have to give up to the right person. Amen. When you give up to God, you will always win. Amen. Because when God says something to you and you just simply say, yes, Lord, I'm going to do that. You are surrendering to his way of doing things. Glory to God.
Amen.
You're surrendering to his way of doing things and his ways are the best. Do you know that In Matthew, right, chapter 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The Amplified Version, if you look at it, says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then it says, his way of doing. His way of doing. And being right.
Wow.
That's what it says.
So seek His way of doing and being right, and all these things will be added unto you. Amen. Not your way, not my way, not her way, not His way. God's way. Seek His way of doing things. So now you want to know what you should do in a situation, what you should be seeking? See, it's easy to say, seek ye first the kingdom of God, when you don't put what kingdom of God means. Mm-hmm. But see, a kingdom runs by certain rules. Amen. Kingdom runs by principles. Mm-hmm. Amen? Amen? So if you're going to seek the kingdom of God, that's what you're seeking. You're seeking the principles that that govern the kingdom.
Yes.
You're seeking the way God does things. Mm-hmm. When you seek the kingdom of God, you say, okay, now I'm in the kingdom of God. What do I do? Amen? Mm-hmm. It's like when you go to Europe. You gotta understand, you gotta drive on the side of the street they drive on.
Exactly.
Because you're in a different kingdom now.
Exactly.
You can't drive the way you drive here in America. Right? You're in a different kingdom now. Well, you have now been translated into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Amen. We are citizens of heaven. We have been translated and transferred into the kingdom of God. Guess how we have to live now? According to God's way of doing things. And when we do that, the scripture says all these things will be added unto you. Why? Because you'll be winning. You'll have victory in your life. So, it's contrary to us to think that we win through surrender, but how many of you know that's how God works? God says, I use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And I use the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. Right? So God's going to do things counter to the way we think. Amen. Why? Because His thoughts are not our thoughts. Amen. So we think in order to win, we're going to have to stand firm and not give in and don't give an inch and don't budge and stand your ground. See how the world says stuff?
Mm-hmm.
That's not what God says. God says bow down. Jesus. God says worship.
Yeah.
God says surrender.
Yeah.
God says submit. Amen.
Uh-huh.
But those words aren't the words of defeat, not the kingdom of God. Those are words of victory. Get it in your spirit. If I'm going to win, I must learn how to surrender. Amen. I must learn how to surrender, to give up.
Amen.
If I'm going to win. But who am I going to give up to? I'm going to give up to God.
Amen.
Now, I want to say this because I think is such a key to helping us with this thing, because if we're going to surrender to God, we have to understand, I think, a key part of surrendering as far as God is concerned. God's surrender is found in love.
Yeah.
Let's think about it this way. John 3:16, we talked about that scripture in Bible study recently, right? God so loved the world that what did He do? He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world, He gave His Son. Put it this way, God so loved the world that He gave up His Son. Love compelled God to give up His Son. Amen? And the scripture talks about Jesus, and it says that Jesus, who was in, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made Himself of no reputation, took upon Him the form of a servant, amen, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion of a man, what did He do? He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even death of the cross. What did Jesus do? He's up in heaven. His rightful place. What did Jesus do? He gave up His rightful place to come down to earth where He could die a criminal's death so that you and I could live.
Wow.
He surrendered. Right? He gave up His seat.
Mm-hmm.
But why? He did it because He loved you. Because He loves us. God gave up His Son because He loves us. So when we surrender to God, that surrender is grounded in love the same way He loved us. So if we really love God, we'll surrender unto Him.
Jesus.
think about it this way. What about a man and his family? A man. I'm single. I run with my fellas all the time. I go play golf. I go on vacation several times a year because I'm single and I got the money, right? But now I get married. And I start having children. Well, if I love my wife and my children, guess what? I'm going to start giving up some stuff. Huh? I'm going to give up hanging out with the fellas as much as I used to. I might give up on my golf game and start putting away some money so that my kids can go to college one day. Amen? I'm going to give up some of the things I want to do. Maybe now I'm not going on vacation so much anymore. Amen? I'm going to give up some stuff. I'm going to give up watching the game. Amen? And instead, I'm going to sit down with my wife and my children and watch a corny movie. Because I'm going to value time with them more than anything else. I'm going to give up.
Wow.
Why? Because I love them. See, love compels you to surrender. Amen? God so loved us, He gave up His Son. Jesus so loved us, He gave up His seat in heaven. Right? And when we love our family and we love our spouses and we love the brethren, we will give up certain things because of love.
Amen.
But here's the wonderful thing. It is easier to surrender, not only because you love the person, but because you know they love you. Because if they love you, what are they doing while you're surrendering to them? They're surrendering to you. And this is how God created it. If you love me and I love you, I'm surrendering in your best interest, and you in turn are surrendering in my best interest. And so now we work together like a smooth running machine. Amen. None of us just looking out for ourselves, but looking out for the other one. And it's a beautiful thing. And so now I don't mind going to the mall on a beautiful Saturday when I'd rather be on the golf course, because I know that if I surrender that to my wife, that there's going to be something she's going to surrender back to me.
Amen.
You see how it works. But you got to understand how love plays into surrender.
Wow.
And this is what's so important. Because see, here's the thing. Some of us talk about how I love God. I love the Lord. And I won't take it back. I love the Lord. And you still have problems surrendering.
Ouch.
Right.
But the reason why is because you're focusing on the wrong side of the love equation.
Jesus.
You shouldn't be focusing on the fact that you love God. You should focus on the fact that God loves you.
Jesus.
And when you focus on the fact that God loves you, then it's easy to surrender. Right? Because you know I'm surrendering to someone who has my best interests at heart. Amen? So when He tells me to do something, I know He's thinking and He's safeguarding my best interest.
Yes.
And so it's easy for me to say yes to Him.
Yes.
But if I'm focused on the fact that I love the Lord, but I don't have security in my heart and mind how much He loves me, then I might begin to question and I have to see, well, why do I have to do that, Lord? What is that going to lead to? But if I just focus on the fact that God loves me, that if He says something, it's done. I'm doing it. But why? Because I know if I do what the Lord wants me to do,
Jesus,
He's looking out for my best interest. I have no problem giving up of myself to someone who I know is looking out for me.
Jesus.
Amen. But we don't focus on that. We focus on the fact that we love the Lord. But I want you to know God loves you. Right? God loves you. I know I've joked about it before. That time I told you that story. Amen. I used to walk around going, God loves me. That is so important for a Christian to walk around and get in their spirit. God loves me.
Amen.
Look, there's a reason why the enemy walks around whispering to you so much that God doesn't love you. You understand? He's always telling you, oh, God mad at you now. Oh, you messed up yesterday. I don't know. God don't want to hear from you now. Right? He's always trying to interfere, right, to get you to think that somehow God doesn't love you and God doesn't like you. But I want you to know God loves you. Amen. God loves you with an everlasting love. Amen. God loves you with a love that will never quit and will never stop, and a love that will never fail. Amen. God loves you. Amen. And when you get that in your spirit, God loves me. Amen. God loves me. Everything's going to work out for me. Why? Because God loves me.
Amen.
I'm coming out of this mess. How do you know? Because God loves me.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, yeah. My needs are going to be met. How do you know? God loves me.
Yes.
Amen. I'm not going to be stuck in this situation too long. How do you know? Because God loves me. You don't need to know a scripture. You need to know God loves you. Amen. And when you know God loves you, then He'll tell you to do something and you'll go, okay, Lord. Why? Because you know the thoughts He has towards you. Amen. I know the plans I have toward you, saith the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you.
Yes.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Oh, the microphone trying to. I don't. Watch this.
Amen.
Amen.
That's
right. That's right.
That's right.
Amen. What
in the world?
Exactly.
Right. Who needs a battery? Amen. Right. Glory to God. When you know God loves you, there'll be a ram in the bush. You don't worry about stuff not working out at that particular time because what? I know God loves me. You got to get this in your spirit. God loves me. And when you know God loves you, then listen, you will know that I can surrender my will unto His. And that's what surrendering is about. It's about saying, I'd rather do this, Lord, but God says, I want you to do that. And instead of doing this, you do that. You surrender your will unto God's will. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He says, may this cup pass from me. But then He said what? Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Because Jesus understood the cup passing from Him might have been temporarily bringing Him some relief. But He knew that the best thing that happened in that situation would be for God's will to be done.
Amen.
So what did He do? He surrendered to it. Amen? And so you and I need to surrender to God's will. And when we do that, we will find ourselves in victory.
Amen.
But it's easy to do it when you know that God loves you. So let's think about this, amen. We already talked about John 3:16, right? God so loved the world. Are you part of the world? Mm-hmm. God so loved you that He gave His Son for you.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Say, God loves me.
God loves me.
Mm-hmm. God loves me. Turn to Romans, amen. Turn to Romans chapter 5, amen. Because if we get this in our spirit, how much God loves us, it's going to be easier for you, for me, for us to surrender unto Him. And when you surrender, you win.
Amen.
Amen. Romans chapter 5. Let's look at verse number 6. It says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen.
Amen.
The Amplified says, but God shows and clearly proves His own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, died
for us.
Yeah.
So God showed and clearly proved his love for us by sending his son to die for us while we were yet sinners. God didn't say, clean yourself up first and then I'll accept you.
Nope.
He showed his love for us first. He proved it by saying, son, I need you to go down to earth with the express purpose to die for their sins.
Amen.
Amen. God loves you. Amen.
Amen.
Turn with me to Galatians chapter 2. I want you walking around the house the rest of the day today just saying, God loves me. Amen?
Amen.
God loves me. And see, it's good to say that and to know that, but it's also good to have some scriptures you can point back to when the devil come and try to talk you out of that. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Familiar scripture. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen.
Mm. Christ loved you and gave himself for you.
Yeah.
When Jesus Christ willingly went to that cross, he did it for you.
Amen.
Amen. See, you got to make it personal, too, because, see, you know, he did it for you. He saw you for the joy that was set before him. Part of that joy was your face.
That's right.
Hmm? Part of that joy that was set before him was your face. And he endured the cross. He hung on that cross. So he saw you. He said, oh, I'm doing it for him.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm doing it for Brother Les. I'm doing it for Brother Joe. I'm doing it for Sister Christine. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. He hung up there. Amen. All them out. The joy set before him. It was for you.
Yeah.
Because he loved you.
Yeah.
Amen. And he went through all that pain for you. He went through all that heartache for you. He took all those stripes for you.
Yeah.
By his stripes, you are healed.
Yeah.
Amen. That's why when you understand that he took all that for me, yeah, and he took it so that you could be healed from that thing you're going through right now. How dare you then not take your healing?
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
That's right.
When you know, oh, he loved me so much, he gave his back for me. Every time, amen, that cat of nine tails whipped into his flesh and pulled it out, he was doing it for you.
Amen.
And for me.
Amen.
God loves us, amen.
Amen.
He loves us. But look at Ephesians chapter 2. God loves us. And when we know God loves us, easier to do what?
Surrender.
Surrender. Amen. Easier to surrender. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 4 says, God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why did he do it? That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
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 But look what it says in verse 4. God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. Amen. God doesn't just love you. He has a great love for you. Amen. He has a great love for you. A love that was demonstrated in giving up his son. Jesus loves you in a love that is demonstrated by giving up his rightful place. By giving up his body to get beaten in your stead. Amen. By believing and dying in our place.
Amen.
Amen. And so when we focus on that, see, these are things we know, but understands what it means. He loves you. And if you say, this God loves me so much, he then asks me, forgive your brother. Okay, Lord. Amen. I surrender.
Yeah.
It may not be my way. My way is I want to set a trap for him. My way is I want to get him back.
Yes.
My way is I want to do something in return. That's my way. But God says, my ways are not your ways. Do it my way.
forgive him.
Wow.
And when we know God loves us, we say, okay, forgiving him, if God is telling me that, it's in my best interest to do that. I give up, Lord. I give up my plan to get him back. It was a good plan too, God. It was foolproof. But I'm giving it up. Amen. Oh, it was a beauty. But I'm giving it up, Lord. Amen?
That's right.
Amen. God tells you to give up some stuff. Amen.
Jesus.
Give up that recreational pursuit right now. Amen.
Jesus.
Amen. Give it up. Get off the career track right now. Mm-hmm. But you think that's what you got to do in order to get ahead. But God says give it up. If you know that God loves you, you give it up. Amen. Everybody around you might be saying, how can you give up that such a good job? Because God said so.
Yeah.
They may not understand it, but you understand. You're giving in to a God who loves you. You're surrendering your way to victory.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Because you know if you do things God's way, you may not understand it now, but at some point you'll see the wisdom in God directing you the way he did.
Amen.
Amen. Not only does God love you, I love what Paul says, amen. God, we said God loves us with everlasting love, but he loves you with a love that can never be separated. Mm-hmm. Is that what Paul said? He said, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, right, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature can separate us from the love of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's nothing that once God set his love on you, it ain't coming off. Amen. Once he set his love on you, it's stuck. It is stuck on you, amen. It is never coming off. And so you walk around, amen, with God's love all over you. And if you can focus on that, how can you not love him back? And when you love him back, guess what you do? He asks you to do something, and you'll give in.
Yep.
Amen? You will give in. So it's easy to surrender when you know God loves you. Now, I want to show you something. But how does this give us to victory? Get us to victory? Turn to James chapter 4. So you don't think somebody just saying some stuff. How many of you know God just don't say stuff?
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. God values words too much.
Yes, he does.
Amen. James chapter 4. Let's look at verses 6. Verses 6 and 7. But let's look at verse number 6 first. James says in James chapter 4 verse 6. But he, talking about God, gives more grace. Now grace is what? God's favor and his power operating in our lives. But God gives more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now let's stop right there for a second and really take from this what God is saying today. Amen. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Who are the humble? The humble are those who submit their will to God's will. That's humility. That's godly humility. It's not aw shucks.
Right.
That's not humility. Oh, he's humble. He don't want to take credit. No. Humility is submitting your will to God's will. Amen? So watch this then. God, you want to do something. God directs you to do something else. You say yes to the Lord. You have humbled yourself. You are operating in humility. What does he do to the humble? He gives them grace. What is grace? His favor and his power. Watch how this works now. You are in a situation with someone. A disagreement. And God says unto you, apologize to them. You did nothing wrong. You ever been there?
Yeah.
you know at that point sometimes you have said, and God forgives you, you said, get thee behind me, Satan, because you thought it was Satan that was telling you to apologize. God says to you, apologize to them. You don't feel like apologizing to them. That's your will. God's will is that you apologize. You walk over there and you apologize. You've now humbled yourself. And the minute you did that, God released the grace in your life. Because he gives grace to the humble. And so now you walked over there, and they may have said, well, you need to say sorry. And you think it didn't work. But God released the grace in your life. He gives grace to the humble. He gives favor and power to those who do things his way rather than their own way.
That's it.
Amen?
Yeah.
And that's how you win. That's how you get victory, because now you have God's favor and his power operating in your life. Oh, that situation where they go, oh, you should have said sorry. You may think you didn't win that. But then you walk away from that and you go back to your desk and then you get an email and you find out that something that you've been waiting for 2 weeks has been held up. All of a sudden now is there. How did that happen? Because of the grace that was released in your life.
Amen.
Amen. When you humble yourself unto God, he releases his favor and his power in your life. He gives grace to the humble. Now, before that, he says he does what? It says he resists the proud. Who are the proud? Well, the humble are those who submit their will unto God. Guess who the proud are? The proud are those who don't submit. The proud are those who think their way is better than God's way. Come on, somebody. That's the proud. And who does God say resists the proud? The devil? Uh-uh. He said, I resist the proud. And you wonder why your stuff ain't working. Come on, somebody. God told you to go over there and apologize. I'm not apologizing. Let him apologize to me first. And you walk away. And then you're wondering why your boss is not giving you the promotion. Because God's resisting you.
Jesus.
Amen? You're wondering why stuff's not working in your business. Because God's resisting you. You're trying to move everywhere you go. Picture it this way. You're trying to go this way and God jumps in front of you. And you go that way and he jumps in front of you. He's resisting you. You're trying to open the door and God's on the other side holding it back.
Jesus.
Wow.
He's not just like letting you go. He is actively resisting you.
Right. That's a word.
Is that what the scripture says? God resists the proud. So when you and I take it upon ourselves to do things the way we want to instead of the way God wants to, we're operating in pride. And God's resisting us. Oh, but when you and I give in to God,
amen.
When we humble ourselves unto God and say, yes, Lord. Amen. You want me to do this? Yes, Lord. You humble yourself unto God, he does what? He releases grace in your life. You have favor in your life. So much favor, people start calling you things like, you're lucky. And you know luck has nothing to do with it. It was your humility unto God that released favor and power in your life. And people say, how is everything working out for you like that? You must be lucky. You need to go to the racetrack. I don't need to go to no racetrack. Amen. I just need to keep obeying God. Amen. And he'll keep releasing favor and grace in my life.
Right.
That's the way to victory. It's by getting that grace, that favor and that power. But how do you get it? By humbling yourself unto God. Now look at verse 7. It now says, submit yourself therefore to God. Next thing says, resist the devil, and he will flee. But the devil doesn't flee from you because you resist. The devil flees from you because you submit, and then you resist. See, some people just want to resist. Satan, I rebuke thee. Well, you ain't submitting unto God. God told you to put the thing back, you still got it in your pocket. God told you to make the phone call, you said, yeah, I'll do that tomorrow. God told you to give an extra $10 this week, you went out and bought yourself lunch. And then you want to stand up in your prayer closet and go, Satan, I resist you. And Satan's kicking your butt. Why? Because you can't resist him in your own power. You have to submit. You have to surrender first. You got to surrender to God first, and then you can resist. And then Satan flees. Because when you surrender to God first, what happens? Grace and power is released in your life. And now you stand in that grace and power. Now you can tell Satan, I resist you. And he goes.
Yep.
Because the power has been released in your life through your surrender. But if you don't want to surrender, you want to do things your way, you can rebuke Satan all you want. He's going to laugh in your face. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? And you're going to be running down the street. Just stop hanging out. Amen? Right, right. That's what it's in the Bible, right? Run down the street naked.
Right. Right.
Come on, somebody. How do we get there? We get there when we surrender to God. You see, this is where the victory comes. Because when we surrender to God, grace is released in our lives. I want to show you two things to help us as we leave. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. Similar scripture over there, but it adds something for us that's important. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter is easy to find. It's right before 2 Peter. Amen?
Amen.
1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 6. It says, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may what? Exalt you, promote you, lift you up. Amen? When? In due time. And then it says something that's important. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you.
Yeah.
See, and that's the important part. See, when you know he cares for you, not only can you submit to him, but you can cast all your care on him. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you care that that person who was wrong to you, God tells you to go apologize. Mm-hmm. What? But then they're going to think I'm a chump. Yeah. They're going to think they got over on me. I was reading an article yesterday about a man who was trusting a good friend of his to run his businesses. He had 14 restaurants. And the man was diverting all the money from the restaurant into his personal account. And the man who owned the businesses didn't know until the banker called him and said, you're overdrawn. He said, that's impossible. He was overdrawn by over $300,000. Was getting sued for millions of dollars by landlords and by suppliers and by everything else. And you know what the man said? He said, there was times when you know, he said, like, I'm paying all this money back. That's what the man said. Anyone who was wrong? And he said, over the years, he found out that the man who cheated him out of all this money needed a car. He bought him a car.
Wow.
Because God told him to. He found out that the man, at one time his washer and dryer stopped working, he had a new washer and dryer delivered to his house. Is that the way we do stuff?
No.
Why do you think that man did that? Because God told him. You think he probably said, that man caused me all this grief and you want me to buy him a car? See, in the natural, we'd be like, good, that's what he gets. Well, comes around and goes around. Right? That's what we say. And if we want to be scriptural, we'll say, you reap what you sow. You sow the bad seed you get, right?
Right.
But God said, my ways are not your ways. Buy him a car. Replace his washer and dryer.
Jesus.
The one who stole money from you, replace his washer and dryer. Amen? And you do that, and God knows, amen, God knows that you're concerned that you might be viewed as a doormat. But when you know God loves you, you cast that on him. God, I'm really concerned about this. I'm really concerned about how this is going to play out. But what? I cast it on you. Why? Because I know you care for me. And if I know you care for me, if I know you love me, then it's easy for me to surrender, even if it doesn't make any sense. Psalm 55:22 said, cast your burdens onto the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will not suffer the righteous to be moved. He will not suffer the righteous to slip, fall, or fail, it says in the Amplified. Amen. You won't slip, fall, or fail if you cast your care on God, because he cares for you. But see, if you don't know he cares for you, you're not going to surrender. And guess what else? You're going to hold all your cares to yourself. Somebody holding on to too many cares right now. Amen. You hold on to cares in your life. God knows you have this care and that care. But what's he saying? Cast it, what? On me. Why? Because I care for you. When you know that, when you know God loves you, you'll give in to God. You'll obey God. Buy the car for the guy who stole from you. Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Forgive your spouse who had an affair.
Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Hmm? Go back to that church where they were talking to you like a dog from the pulpit.
Oh,
Jesus. Yes. Come on, somebody.
Right.
Now, you don't want to do this, but God's ways are better.
Amen.
How much the more? Amen. You can argue with Sister Fennell. Go tell her you're sorry. But I'm mad right now. You ever be like that? You just want to be mad for a little while longer? I'm mad now. I just want to be mad for a little. Give me,
right, right.
Give me a couple more hours. I want to be mad.
Right, right.
Go get it right. Hmm? Mm-hmm. Give money to that sibling who never calls you, never visits, never sends a Christmas card, never hear from them, except when they need something from you.
Jesus.
Hmm? Yeah, the one who told you they needed it to pay rent and you found out they went and they used it on a down payment for a cruise. Yeah, that one.
Right.
And they're coming around again. And you know the truth. And you say, I'm not going to have them treat me like a fool. God knows you care about that. Do what? Cast it on the Lord. If you tell me to do this, then I'm going to do it. Amen. Let's watch something. We got one or two places to turn. First one is Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. See, if you don't know God loves you, you're not going to pay attention to what God says. Amen?
Wow.
If you don't know God loves you, you're not going to pay attention to what he says. Amen. Like with children, amen. Children who can't obey their parents, they got a love issue. Amen. But when you love the Lord, you'll listen to what he says. Well, watch, see this in action. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. It says, and the same day, when the evening was come, he saith unto them, the disciples, let us pass over unto the other side. That's what he said to the disciples. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, cares not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And then he turned to them, and he said this, why are ye so fearful?
Amen.
How is it that ye have no faith? You see that? Jesus said to them, let us go on to the other side. Right? A storm arose. Jesus gave a command and then storms arose. A storm arose and hit their life. Jesus told you, he told me to do something, and then a storm arose and hit my life. A financial storm, a health storm, a relationship storm. Jesus told me to do something. I heard him, but then a storm hit my life. And then I started going crazy. And I started coming into church. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Amen. I go and I start to wake him up. He's sleeping. And I wake him up and I say what the disciples say. Lord, what did they say to him? Don't you care?
Jesus.
That we're about to die.
Wow.
They questioned if he cared. And because they questioned if he cared, they couldn't obey.
Jesus.
He said, let us go to the other side. If they knew
Jesus.
That Jesus cared for them,
wow.
Even in the midst of the storm, they would have fell asleep too. Because they said, if Jesus said, we're going to the other side, we're going to the other side. And they would have got their own pillow and went to sleep.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. Why was Jesus asleep? Because he knew the Father cared for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in the middle of a storm, he could sleep.
Amen.
Because I know my Father loves me.
Jesus.
They had questions about whether Jesus cared for them.
Mm.
And because of that, they couldn't rest in his word. Hmm? So when you and I, amen, aren't sure or we question if God cares for us, God, you know me, how am I in this situation? That's why you can't listen. But when you know that you know that you know that you know, I don't care what happens in my life, God loves me. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I know God loves me no matter what. He loves me with an everlasting love. He loves me with a love that can never be separated. I'm covered in the love of God from head to toe. All the way around me, I'm covered in love. And not only that, goodness and mercy are following me as I walk. I know God loves me. When you know God loves you, then even when storms arise,
Jesus,
you still remain calm. But when you have a problem knowing that God loves you, that he cares for you, amen, you're going to be waking him up. Don't you care that we're going to perish? And then Jesus says, why are you fearful?
Wow.
How is it that you have no faith? Now, 1 John chapter 4, verse number 18 says, there is no fear in love. Because love casts out fear. Amen? Amen. There's no fear in love. So when you know God loves you, in that love, you understand something. God loves me, and now you're not afraid. Not afraid of the storm that comes in your life. If you know God loves you, you're not afraid of the storm that arises in your life. They didn't know God loved them. The storm arose and they quickly started being afraid of what was going to happen to them. You and I get in this situation and we are grounded in the love of God. I know God loves me. The storm arises and you stand there and, you're not even worried. Why? Because you know God loves you. And how does your faith work? By love. But whose love? Is love that you have for God? You got to start with it first. Amen. We love him because he first loved us. And you got to start with the first thing. Amen. You start with his love for you. And when you know he loves you, then in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the storm, you still will be operating in faith. Because your faith will be operating by the love that you know he has for you. God getting me out of this storm. How do you know? Because he loves me.
Yeah.
Amen? But it's raining, it's pouring. What is that? It's raining, it's pouring, the old man, the snowy man. It's raining, it's pouring, right? You got financial issues, you got health issues, your kids are running crazy. What are you going to do? God loves me. I'm going to stand right here. I'm going to do what he said to do. Amen. You still going to church? Yeah, because God's still calling me to do it. You still serving in the ministry? Yeah, because this is what God wants me to do.
Right.
You keep doing what God wants. You surrender unto God because you understand something. Amen. He cares for me. But Christians who don't know God loves them and cares for them get fearful like these disciples on the boat. And they end up getting rebuked by Jesus. Come on, somebody. Jesus, where's your faith? But when we know God loves us and he cares for us, what can we do? I surrender unto you. And when you surrender unto him, you're surrendering unto his word. Come on, let's go to the other side. Okay, we're going to the other side. We're going to the other side. Amen. You're going to get out of debt. Okay, Lord, I'm going to get out of debt. That's what he said to you. And now come Sunday, the preacher said, okay, we got to take up a special offering. Oh, I'm giving you good money. See, you don't know he cared for you. Because if you did, you would just obey that word. You would surrender to that word. This is the last $10 I have, Lord. You think the Lord don't know that's your last $10? He said, put it in the plate. Amen? And when you do that in faith, it's because you understand something. God has my best interest at heart. He cares for me. And because he cares for me, I can surrender to what he says. Because I know if I do what he says, I'm going to get the best for my life. Amen. And here's the best thing. You can do this every day. Every situation. Everything you're in, you have a choice to make. You're going to do it your way or God's way. Amen. And when you make the decision, Lord, I'm surrendering unto you. I'm telling you now, you're doing it the best way. Because his way is not your ways. His ways are what? Better. And when you do things God's way, your life's going to be better. Your life's going to be better.
Amen.
Amen. It's that simple. It's going to be easier for you to do that and surrender unto him, though, when you focus on how much he loves you and how much he cares for you. When you focus on how much he cares for you, you ain't going to lose your head in the middle of life's storms.
Right.
You're not going to lose your head. But what? Because that perfect love that he loves you with is going to cast out all fear. Mm-hmm. Amen? They're going to come take your house. I'm not worried about that.
Amen.
I'm not worried about that. God's going to make a way. Amen? They're going to close the company. You're going to be out of work. I ain't worried about that. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
But perfect love casts out fear. I know God loves me. I'm unafraid. Amen. Stop trying to be a fake Christian and think you're going to be unafraid by this. I'm not scared. Then say you come up behind you and go, boo, and you jump. That's not what makes you unafraid. What drives out fear is God's perfect love for you.
Amen.
And when you know he loves you, fear goes out the window. Amen. You ain't fearful for tomorrow. What's going to happen if you don't get that business, brother? That's what's going to happen. You go, I ain't worried about that.
Amen. That's right.
I surrender to God. I'm not worried about that. What if they take that business from you? That thing is bringing in almost half your income. I'm not worried about that. Huh? Why? Because God loves me. And if he loves me, guess what? He's going to provide for me.
Yeah.
When you have that as your foundation, I'm telling you, you're going to be peaceful. You're going to have peace that passes all understanding. And you're going to submit yourself to God.
Amen.
And what happens when you submit? Grace released in your life. You see how it works? Amen. So how are you going to get to victory? You going to do it your way? Or you going to do it God's way? Amen.
Amen.
You going to surrender to God or not? Amen. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Surrender to God. When you surrender unto God, you are on your way to victory in every area of your life. Amen.
Yes.
That's how victory comes for the child of God. It comes through surrender. Amen. Amen. Surrender to God today. Amen. Ways great and small.
Amen.
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 Mm-hmm. Ways great and small. Forgive that brother. Okay, Lord. Amen?
Yep.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Slow down. Stop driving so fast. Yes, Lord. Uh-oh. Amen.
Amen.
Let that person go in front of you in the store.
But I'm running late, Lord.
Let them go in front of you. Oh, yeah. When you surrender, God's going to tell you some small stuff. Amen. Amen. He's going to tell you, amen, pick up that paper off the floor. I ain't put it there. You can literally call me. You didn't put the paper there. He's going to tell you to pick up the clothes that's on the floor that you didn't knock down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. And you're going to have a choice to make. You're going to do your way, just walk out the store. You're going to surrender unto God.
Wow.
And where he's great and small. You're going to want a soda. He's going to tell you to drink water. Come on. I'm joking. Amen. God cares about every area of your life. But he's going to test your obedience, right? Because you're obedient in the little things, right? The small things, the least things.
Amen.
That's your proving ground for the greater things.
Right. Right.
He's going to tell you. Yeah. Amen. I want two hands down. You know you have enough. Yes, I have one. Come on, somebody. Amen. Let's stand on our feet first and pray. Hold on a second. Let's stand on our feet. Amen. Father, we bless you and we thank you, Lord. Father, we surrender to you right now. We surrender all to you, God. And Father, it's easy to surrender to you, God, because we know that you love us, that you care for us, that you have our best interest in the center of your heart and mind. And Father, we love you because you first loved us. And Father God, we just thank you now, God, that as we surrender unto you, we have seen, God, that we are humbling ourselves before you. And you said you give more grace to the humble.
Yeah.
Father, we thank you as we humble ourselves under your hand, that God, you give us your favor and your power. And you allow us, oh God, to resist the enemy and to do things that we could not do in our own strength.
Yes.
Father, I'm praying right now in the name of Jesus that we will all, God, surrender unto you. That we will humble ourselves under your mighty hand. That, Father God, that we will submit to your authority and do things your way.
Yes.
And Father, as we do that, we're believing by faith right now that we shall experience more victory in our lives.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, I'm praying now for the help of the Holy Spirit to help us all to submit at a greater level, a greater depth unto you, O God. And Father, I thank you for the victory that is in the lives and the futures of your people.
Yes.
I give you praise for it now. In Jesus' name,
in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Amen.